Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants, brought to you by Cheesehead TV, with your hosts, Corey Benke and Aaron Nagler. Today's show, November 19th, 2008, exults in the dominating victory over Chicago and looks towards Monday night's showdown in the Big Easy. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Packer Transplants.
Slot left, Booker wide right, snap is fumbled by Orton, and it's loose, and it's scooped up on the play by the Packers, and heading to the house, all the way as Hunter, touchdown Green Bay, the dagger!
From our studios in Inwood, Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football!
Hi, and welcome to Packer Transplants. I'm Corey.
And this is Aaron.
And today, we'll celebrate the fact that the Bears still really, really suck.
Indeed.
So let's get started. And where do we get started but the good, the bad, and the ugly? We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
A game of redemption.
Ryan Grant.
The man.
AJ Hawk.
Making it in the middle.
We got the bad. We got Tremon Williams.
Tremon, every third down, really?
Al Harris.
He of the 5-yard automatic first down penalty.
Kenny Petway.
Kenny, turn the corner on the pass rush.
And we got the ugly. We got
the Bears.
And they're pretty ugly.
And they are very ugly. And ladies and gentlemen, let it be known that they still suck.
Yes, they do. Although I'm very happy that Lovie Smith finally got his first loss at Lambeau Field. It's been a long time coming.
I mean, 4 years in a row? Really?
And yeah.
Finally, beating Lovey at Lambeau. You gotta love that.
You really do.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
To the video podcast here at Cheesehead TV.
Our initial inaugural, and if you are listening to the podcast at the moment, head to the website.
That's true.
Come on over.
Well, we're going to have if you're listening to the audio podcast right now, you gotta wait till the afternoon to see the video podcast.
That's right. So something to look forward to.
It's good. And they're both gonna be different. The audio podcast is gonna be longer, and the video podcast is gonna be short and sweet, and we're gonna talk about the running game right now.
Which you gotta admit was a shock. I mean, the week before, the Bears allowed 20 yards to the Tennessee Titans, who do nothing but run the ball all day. And then the Packers come in and put up 200 yards.
It was pretty ridiculous. The whole game was ridiculous. 37-3. I mean,
that's ridiculous.
I mean,
I like to think I know something about football, as we say in our intro. No way on earth I think or anyone expected 200 yards.
No.
Get thrown up against the Bears.
I'm just excited that our running game, after Ryan Grant's agent decided to hose us, and then, let's hold out, and then let's get injured, and then...
And that's the thing. Like, coming into the season, this is the team we thought we were going to see.
It's true.
From week one.
And here we are, starting at zero.
And well, we're back to, all the three of the teams that matter in the NFC North are all tied for first place.
One is 0-10.
And the other one is 0-10, which we won't even mention their name because that's ridiculous. Six games to go. This offensive line coming to play, finally gelling.
Finally.
And Ryan Grant, you can't say enough about the performance against the Bears. I mean, when he ripped off that,
35-yarder.
Third play of the game, you knew it was going to be a big day for Ryan Grant.
It's true.
Rodgers looking left and right, slot right, single receiver left. Rodgers fakes the pass, gives it off to Grant, has a hole up the middle. Cutting left to the 25, 30, 35 to the 40, still on his feet, 45, 50, and chased down from behind, inside the Chicago 45-yard line of the 44. Charles Tillman. Able to get him to the turf. 35-yard run in the first 20-plus yard run since opening night.
Yeah, his longest 17 until that run. And that's the one thing that's been missing from the Packers running game, breaking the long one. Ryan Grant, he's been knocking on that door for a couple of weeks. He finally broke it down.
I like it.
He didn't just break it down. He busted that door right off the hinge.
I like it when our offensive line isn't on their heels.
I know. Skating backwards, right? They look fantastic. I mean, whether it was Clifton or college out at left tackle and sitting in at right guard, I mean, they just dominated. I haven't seen a Packer offensive line dominate like that since the heydays of, like, you know, Wall and Rivera and the Jumbo and, you know, 2003 with five yards per carry backs in the backfield.
Well,
I mean,
speaking
that was impressive.
Speaking of Jumbo, I know we did it, I think we did it in one of the games, but we've had fullbacks running the ball. Speaking of Jumbo, yeah. We had the fullback on the goal line.
Yeah, we have fullback runs. Nice. We had tight ends in the back. I mean, and that's another thing. Speaking of the running game, Torrey Humphrey was an unsung hero in this game. I mean, I cannot praise this kid enough. His blocking was unbelievable in this game. He was great. I mean, McCarthy kept him out wide, and it would motion him into the backfield, and then he would take on either the lead block or the backside cut. He was great.
Well,
was
and
phenomenal.
Not only that, he was catching balls, you know.
Yeah, the tight end position in general.
He was catching balls on, you know, 6-yard outs, 7-yard outs. And a lot of Packer fans, I don't know. There's a lot of Packer fans on the Packer Fan Forum and some other podcasts who shall remain nameless who talk crap about the fact that we don't have a tight end to split the middle. Well, you know what? We do have a tight end to split the middle, but he's not a tight end. His name is Donald Driver.
That is a man.
I'm telling you right now, he's better than any tight end to split the middle.
It's true.
And he will get you more yards after the catch than Tony Gonzalez, than Antonio Gates, or any tight end you put out on the field.
That's true.
Okay.
It's true.
So what's nice to have a blocking tight end and to have a guy where 1-2, check down, here I go, now it's 2nd and 4, now I got something manageable, and let's drive this thing.
That's the thing. Like, the tight ends all got involved. Even Dremouthly caught a pass this past weekend. And you're right. It kept the offense in completely manageable positions. Rodgers never forced it down except that one throw to Driver, which you can't really say he forced it. The Driver's open.
Mm-hmm.
He's just got to put more air under the ball, and it's a touchdown. He was patient, and he did. He checked down to the tight ends quite a bit, got Lee involved in the game, and they marched up and down the field. I mean, I think there's something to be said for it.
Everybody was involved in the game except for James Jones.
Well, but James Jones had one big third down catch, and that was about it. But I don't want to talk about James Jones because everyone knows how I feel about James Jones at this moment.
How do you feel about James Jones?
No. I don't want to talk about James Jones. But what I do want to talk about, and this is a big deal here. I need to publicly admit that Corey Banky was correct about something.
That really hurts you, doesn't it?
It does. Over a month ago, Corey Banky said that the nickel defense had become the Packers' base defense. I didn't believe it at the time. I'm still not sure that I'm 100% sold, but one has to admit that, wow, the nickel defense has arrived in Green Bay.
We sure use a lot of it.
And we have, and it started, you know, started there against the Colts. And, you know, when the Vikings walked out their tight ends wide, I thought for sure that would force our safeties wide. But Sanders inserted the nickel and put, you know, guys all over the field to cover these guys.
I think every NFL team would use the nickel like as much as we do if these two things existed. You have to have two safeties that can play the run and are really smart, which we have one. But we don't, when Atari Bigby's back.
When he's back, because he is not himself.
When he's the monster he was last year, that's going to be good stuff. And the second thing is, and most NFL teams don't have this, Philadelphia had it until we took Al Harris away from them, which is a third cornerback who is a starting caliber cornerback.
Absolutely.
Not a little punk in his second year,
right.
but a guy who is ready to play and should be getting the starting job.
Wait, and speaking of ready to play, and just speaking of Tremont Williams, if you haven't yet, go to JS Online and read Laurie Nichols' piece on Tremont Williams. It's excellent. It's great writing, and it's great. It's a great window into his journey from an undrafted player to now one of the best players on one of the best defenses in the NFL.
Look, I was sold on that kid ever since the Carolina game last year, and he ran.
I've been preaching him since training camp last year.
When that punt returned for a touchdown
against Carolina.
Oh my goodness! Okay, Allen Rossum and Desmond Howard don't even have that good. I mean,
no, that was a sick play.
It was
a very sick
ridiculous.
Play. Hey, speaking of, but when that's
I know
sick,
I say ridiculous
you,
a lot.
No,
but
not speaking of sick plays. So a good all-around player this past Sunday was A.J. Hawk. A pleasant surprise. I really thought Forte would kind of expose him, if not in the running game, then definitely in the passing game.
Well, I think it was I don't want to unprop A.J.
Here goes Corey with the unproper.
I don't want to diss AJ, but at the same time, when right. Matt Forte is your offense.
Yeah, which he is in Chicago.
It's kind of easy to game plan.
It is. I mean, but they have other guys. They got Olsen. Olsen's a talent.
Not so much. He's a talent.
He's young.
But
Forte is their offense, though. Forte is their offense.
And here's the thing. I mean, I thought A.J. Hawk played really well. We're going to see how well A.J. Hawk is as a middle linebacker.
It's a whole nother ball game this week.
Against Drew Brees.
Yeah. Oh, and that offense in general and Peyton's play calls and covering any back. I mean, much less Reggie Bush, but any back out of the backfield on that speedy dome surface. Let me tell you, it's a whole nother ball game this week.
I think it's interesting, though, because people like Bob McGinn.
Right.
He had an article where he kind of says that Hawk's abilities, it's not at a really high level. Which is interesting to me. It's like you take a guy in the first round.
Exactly. But you got to admit, when you're taken fifth overall, it comes with some expectations.
True.
And Hawk has definitely not lived up to those.
True, but he wasn't an outside linebacker at Ohio State.
No, a lot of people projected him to the middle of the NFL, and he hasn't gotten there, and now he's there, so he better start making a name for himself.
Well, McCarthy thought he did a pretty good job, and here's what he had to say about it.
I thought AJ played very well. I thought AJ, number one, did a very good job with the communication. We had a couple situations, particularly when they went no huddle, where the communication may not have been as fast or as clean as we wanted. He managed that very well, made the appropriate call for that particular situation. But he did a very good job from that standpoint. Didn't even look like we missed a beat with the boundary communication and so forth. And he was productive. I mean, he did a very nice job. I thought he did a great job playing downhill in his gap responsibility in the run game. You know, and he was productive in the passing game. He was matched up a few times there with Forte with crossing routes and did a nice job. I thought AJ graded out very well.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
Welcome to This Week in the Packer Blogosphere. And this week we highlight a couple of posts that I stumbled across. Number one is, I think, a blog battle which I tried to instigate and failed miserably.
Yeah, I think it's called a wannabe blog battle.
A wannabe blog battle. Packers Lounge, they of the newness here in the Packer Blogosphere, picked on Railbird Central for a post that Brian put up there. And I gotta say, that takes a little bit of cojones to come on your scene here. You haven't been even going really for more than 2 months and pick on Railbird.
Well,
that's a bold statement, right?
To Pack One's credit, he has been on PackerForum.com for a long time, so.
That don't matter. That's a bold statement.
Packer Forum was good, that is.
Yeah, way back when.
Way back when.
Oh, and then the other thing was Packer Geeks. All right. Packer Geeks on, I think, either Monday night or Tuesday morning posted like a War and Peace length post about the Dallas Cowboys.
I couldn't even read it.
What?
I couldn't even read it.
The Cowboys?
Yeah. I saw...
What?
Well, Pack One had put on the Packers Lounge Twitter post, he had put something like, how does Packer Geeks post a Cowboys? So I went to it and I looked at it and I was just like, you know what? I am so incredibly sick of Packer Geeks writing about other teams. It's like, I don't want to come to Packer Geeks.
Like, I don't even mind like the tangential, like, I'm an old man and I get sick kind of posts. Like, that's fine. It's your blog, but whatever you want. All right?
I guess.
But Packer Geeks, and then to be confronted by like three pages of Cowboys stuff, that's just insulting to me as a Packer fan.
I think ever since the election, Packer Geeks is kind of...
Easy. I have made my one political post for the 4-year period, and now I'm done.
I'm not saying anything political.
I'm just saying.
Because of who Packer Geeks writers are,
ever since
the election, they've kind of been kind of slacking on the pack.
I think they're in the doldrums.
No, let me just tell you, okay?
Oh, gosh.
If my job
He's ready.
Was to be a political writer or whatever else, okay?
I hear you.
I'm still at Cheesehead TV, and the Packers are number one, okay?
I hear you. I agree.
That's how it works.
I understand.
That's
one half. That's Steve. That's one half. Andrew, on the other hand, already has the Packers in the playoffs. So, you know, you can't really tell one way or the other over there what's going on.
Well,
so That's our piece on Packer Geek.
Let's talk about calling the podcast at 646-797-2909. 646-797-2909. Call it, because this is what happens when you call it.
Right down the bear's throat. Yes.
So that was Ross from Highland, and here is Keith from, he'll tell you where he's from, talking about the competition.
One thought Carl Gumpkin was still active, and they didn't even know who Deshaun Wynn was. I live in freaking Staten Island. Anyway, that's my, I guess, weekly Packers therapy bashing. And begging, please, 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 take some, you know, airborne vitamin C, whatever you have to do to get yourself healthy, because I need some good Packer analysis.
Well, I don't know if we have good Packer analysis.
We got Packer analysis. that's about as far as I'm willing to go. Keith, thanks for the concern. I drank a lot of beer, and I'm here now. So that's how I cure my common cold.
Well, you know how I cure a common cold?
How's that?
I look at the one stat.
One stat?
59.5.
You love this stat.
Quarterback rating, opposing teams' quarterbacks.
Against the Packer defense.
Oh, yes. If you are the offensive coordinator of the Saints...
Yeah.
You are shaking in your boots when you look at that rating.
Yeah, you are. Or any team.
Even with Drew Brees, with this whole, I'm the MVP.
Well,
I'm going to be the MVP, but I'm on a 5-5 team, and my rushing defense is 28th in the league. I mean, rushing offense.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a problem. Well, I think, okay, theatrics aside, I think it's a heavyweight fight. You know, you've got their strength against our strength, and you've got their weakness against our weakness. You know, they can't run the ball. We can't stop the run.
Yeah, who's going to win? The 27th ranked rushing defense
or the 28th ranked rushing offense? I mean, they can't run. We can't stop the run. They can throw. We stop them throwing. I mean,
we are number one. Number one at stopping people from throwing the ball.
And they are that number one at throwing
but
the ball.
But that is, let me just say, let's just stop for a second, okay?
All right.
Historically, the Green Bay Packers' biggest weakness on defense, historically, has been the passing game.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in our lifetime.
Good in our Lord. Lifetime, okay?
Good
you know,
Lord.
You either couldn't find somebody for Darren Sharper,
right.
You know, or you couldn't really find that third cornerback to really...
To
make
offset
the difference.
Newsom and Vincent and whatever.
Yeah.
Not Vincent.
Vincent. Woo. No. My dad still thinks.
Right.
Okay. He still thinks that the trade for Amon Green and Vincent was bad for us.
What? Mr. Banky, if you're listening.
I'm sorry, but you are high.
That is horrible.
I don't know why,
oh
but we had a conversation, and he's like, it's because Amon Green fumbled a lot.
Right.
You know, which he really didn't. He didn't fumble that much. People always...
He didn't... Okay, wait.
Not compared
to
other...
He didn't fumble a lot, but he fumbled at the worst freaking times.
Yes, I will agree with that.
The worst freaking times.
But it was funny, because he would be like... Yeah, he fumbles all the time. We should have got Vincent. Where's Vincent? I'm like, Dad, we traded for him.
Yeah, and he blew out his knee and never played again. That was a good one for us.
Yeah, that was
Let it
market,
go.
Market good. Not Tony Mandridge, market
no,
good.
Market good. Market zero, Donnie. Nice.
Oh, but the Saints.
The Saints. And here, wait, on the other side of the ball, I mean, come on. You've got, you know, this Saint defense is no great shakes, you know. Their one chance against the Packer offense, their one chance, is the dome. They're playing in a very loud dome. They play very well in this dome, and they haven't played there in, like, a ridiculous amount of time because they had a home game taken away from them, and they had to play in London. So they haven't been there in, like, over a month. People are going to be insane. It's Monday Night Football. They're in the dome. It's going to be insanely loud. It's Metrodome-esque.
You know who plays
good? Which does not service the Packers at all.
You know who plays good in a dome, though?
Who's that?
Greg Jennings.
Greg Jennings plays well on any playing surface, in any playing environment.
There's one thing about being one of the younger teams in the NFL.
Right.
Usually play pretty good in the dome.
Yeah, well, they got speed, you know? The guys, but the whole receiving core should be playing well. It's the one big concern. It's the offensive line. If they can get off at the snap of the ball, the game should be theirs.
Without getting a penalty.
Oh, you had
We are up. Number one. Number one.
Talk about being number one.
Number one in the league.
Got to include all those number ones.
Yeah, you do. Number one in the league in penalties.
Oh, it's so dispiriting. I mean, even again, even in a 37-3 shellacking, we had an offside penalty takeaway Nick Collins' interception. You know, it's like just every game there's some killer penalty.
And it wasn't just a return for that was the record right there.
Yeah, that was it. I know. But it's just killer. It's just awful. But I gotta think, you know, like I said, I hope we've turned a corner. The Packers definitely turned a corner against the Bears. They just gotta solve the dome. And they gotta solve the offensive line has gotta solve the dome. If they can do that, the Packers win. Hands down. Not even a question.
Well, that's it for this week's show. We hope you enjoyed the latest installment of Packer Transplants. Please tell your fellow Packer fans about us and visit us at cheeseheadtv.com.